Good morning. Our scripture reading today is 1 Thessalonians 5, and it's page 907 on your in your pew Bibles. I'm going to start reading with verse 12. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, and be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit, and do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again.
Thank you, Donalyn. Thank you to our worship team for a very good morning of worship. Well, this last Wednesday, it was time for our monthly pastor's prayer with the pastors at Linden Alliance and the pastor at Wimborne Alliance. After we had done praying, I said to them that this Sunday morning, I was preaching from 1 Thessalonians 5:18 about being thankful in all circumstances and trying to explain what all circumstances meant. Well, the pastor at Linden Alliance said, well, that happens to be the sermon that I am preaching this Sunday morning. And the one at Wimborne Alliance said, well, that's the sermon that I'm preaching this Sunday morning. So I therefore concluded, I don't know what the range is, but for at least this area, God has declared this, Thanksgiving in all circumstances Sunday morning. If you have that verse in front of you, you will notice, or I should just draw attention to how the verse finishes, because that's pretty important. It says that being thankful in all circumstances is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And many Christians have wrestled with the question of what is God's will for my life, and they are thinking in terms of particulars. Should I marry this person? Should I buy this house? Should I take this job? Should I move to this place? Should I make this purchase? And I think Paul, as much as anybody, has people coming to him and trying to have him show how God's will can help us with these particular questions. But here in this verse, we have Paul saying, in all circumstances, doesn't matter the circumstance, God's will for you is what? That you be thankful. So it is possible to be out of God's will, and you do it in this way, by being grouchy. Then you are squarely outside God's will. But if you are thankful in all circumstances, that is God's will for you. How can we be thankful in all circumstances? Sermon's not very long. I wanted to show you, or we have a slideshow a little later on, so I just want to make 2 points out of this verse. The first is that we must be willing to be thankful for small things too. And thank you, Lyle. And secondly, we must recognize that the hard things in our life will open doors to new and better worlds which could not be opened in any other way. And we can be thankful for the hard things too. So first, every circumstance, no matter how frustrating or disappointing it may seem at first, is still full of graces all around it worthy of our thanksgiving. And it may take us a moment to settle our hearts and minds in order to see what those other things worth being thankful are, but we should do that. And there's that old verse, old hymn, count your many blessings, name them one by one. And we need to be kind of people that are able to stop our worries and our fears and start to count our blessings, name them one by one, because of the way that it changes us. To be able to say, even in the midst of a really hard thing, wait, I still have friends. Wait, I still have a warm home. Wait, I still have food. Wait, there are those gorgeous snow-covered mountains on the horizon over there, reminding us of God's beauty and majesty. Wait, every trial does come to an end eventually. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was the pastor who was martyred by the Nazis in the middle of World War II. He wrote this to his church. He said, "Only he who gives thanks for little things receives the big things. We prevent God from giving us the great spiritual gifts he has in store for us because we do not give thanks for daily gifts. We think we dare not be satisfied with the small measure of spiritual knowledge, experience, and love that has been given to us, and that we must constantly be looking forward eagerly for the highest good. Then we deplore the fact that we lack the deep certainty, the strong faith, and the rich experience that God has given to others, and we consider this lament to be pious. We pray for the big things and forget to give thanks for the ordinary, small, and yet really not small, gifts. How can God entrust great things to one who will not thankfully receive from him the little things?" I think that's wise counsel, that we wish for that ecstatic experience of God that fills us, but we, in the next breath, grumble about the neighbor's dog who's on our front lawn again. And to find a way to be thankful for the small things sets us up for God to be able to trust us with the big things. Our theme for this winter is greater faith. And this is where it ties into that greater theme, which is that we may wish for huge amounts of faith when God has presented right in front of us the ability to make a small step of faith, whether it be invite our neighbor over for tea, or to call up an estranged family member and just listen, or whatever it is, get ourselves to a small group. And if we are doing those, if we do those things, that may actually be the window through which God reaches to us and gives us an experience of him that we have been looking forward to. So for us to be trustworthy to God with his small gifts and his small acts of faith in order that he might give us the greater gifts, let us be thankful for all the little things in our life. The second thing I want to say about this verse is that the hard thing itself has the capacity to bless you and to bless me. It's not just a matter of remembering the good things around it, but also, it's not just a matter of saying, well, at least I'm not as bad off as that person over there or the people in Somalia. It is to remember that in this trial that I am in, I can learn something, and that thing is good for me, and I will one day be thankful for it. I was once part of a video series by Gary Smalley, who was talking about Christian relationships. One of the things that was most striking about what he said, he was very good. He was interesting and had lots of good and important things to say, and also very funny. I laughed out loud many times. And one of the lessons he said is, he said that when he was young, he hated public speaking. He was terrified of it and terrible at it. But it was because he was bad at it, and I don't know how he got called to be making DVD series, but he did. He said, I had to figure out how to do it properly. And because of my inadequacy in that area, then I had to figure out, you know, what do people want to hear? What keeps them interested? How do they lose their interest? What makes them laugh? What makes them forget what I'm talking about? How do I say things in such a way that they do remember? And so because he was coming at it from a long ways away, he had to work out the mechanics of how good public speaking happened. And surely from what I was watching, he was very, very good at it. And he called that treasure hunting, in which you take the hard thing that is in your life, that you do not like about yourself, about your circumstances, and you say, I'm going to treasure hunt that thing and try and find treasure in the midst of it that I can pull out of it and will enrich my life. I think that's a good principle. In the same way, but with much more at stake, I think of Chinese Christian pastors. And this morning in our prayer time, Jonquil here was remembering just being thankful for how we can freely worship God in this country. Well, it's not the same way everywhere. And so these Chinese Christian pastors, if they get caught by the atheist communist officials and arrested and thrown into jail, what they say to themselves and to others is that now is the time for my prison theology. And what they're saying is they can read all the books they want, they can write all the papers, but there are some things that are best learned when you are cold and hungry in a prison about God. How to throw oneself completely on God, depend upon him, trusting that he is still there with him in the prison cell, praying to him, and learning their prison theology. Knowing that when and if they are finally released, they will come out of the prison with a more humble, more faithful, a more peaceful walk with God than when they went in. Well, we are thankfully not in danger of being arrested and thrown into prison for our faith, but we do have our theologies that we can learn from. We can learn from cancer theology. People are learning unemployment theology. They are learning barrenness theology. And then there is the one that at present is probably the most demanding school of all, which is old age theology, learning to be old. And that's quite a school. We have someone here in our midst who has passed through and earned their master's degree in Lyme's disease theology. And these things enrich us. What makes these classes so effective is that they cannot be opted out of. You cannot play hooky on cancer school. People would like to, but it really bears in on a person and holds them to it and points the arrow at the thing that maybe we most need to learn, whatever it is that, whatever school that God has put us in. We cannot quit on these schools that God puts us in because we don't like the teacher or the subject matter or the assignments. We have to live through it. We all have to get old. We all have these trials that we must pass through, and we can't opt out of them. But as long as we do not resent them, as long as we do not look around for somebody to blame for the thing that we are in, then we can see that there is God, and he is holding open a door that we might pass through and go into a new and better world that he has waiting for us. And that, too, is worth being thankful for. So when God says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God," we know that whether it is good or bad, it is our Heavenly Father that is leading us through it, and we can trust that it will always come to a good end, and that is worth being thankful for. So my 2 points again, that we remember to be thankful for the many small good things in life, which so easily get obscured by our habitual worries and fears. Stop and count your many blessings. And secondly, that the bad things in life, the trials, can be opportunities for thanksgiving because they really are the only way by which we might enter a new and better world, a world which we would be too afraid to enter into on our own strength. All things can be thankful for. Now, we can be thankful for our church. This is a thing that God formed, that God protects and keeps, and that God is redeeming. And I know that in this last year, he has been very active among us. And so put together some pictures, and I just want to thank Bruce Erickson for being very good at collecting pictures together in order to be able to show these. And we'll just show you a little bit of thanksgiving for what God has done for Linden MB Church.
God has been faithful.
Would you rise? Welcome to stay. Let's pray, sing a blessing over the meal.
Praise God from whom?